Great to be together again. Appreciate Brian's songs. They were very good songs, but that last one, I'm not sure if the Ward House knew it or not, but it was great words. Great words. And it's worthy to learn that song if you didn't already know it, which I did not. So, and I don't think we really did, but didn't seem too hard. Maybe it's a little practice. It wouldn't be too hard to learn that. It's a pleasure to be together this morning. I don't know how much I could say how much we appreciate the work here. It's exciting to be a part of a congregation that's so diverse in age. We have from the little, actually I think here in a couple of weeks we may have another child in the congregation. Won't be very long, and we have an unmentioned member who hit a milestone this year. I heard a rumor about that. Congratulations. And so it's just great. The congregation is wonderful. We appreciate you so much. And appreciate the encouragement we have that we receive from you and we all together. I will mention this. Brian was texting me this week about this, and I brought this. I made some copies of a Bible reading, daily Bible reading. Write words out. If you would like those, I did two copies. I did two separate ones in the back. You're welcome to take them and use them. I don't know. I'm not. You're gonna be. You might be shocked, but I am not a recreational reader. That's not me. I my English is bad, and I just don't sit down and read books. Okay, that's not me. I personally went through a reading program, and I think it was last year. For me, it's hard because I'm a studier, not a reader. So when I read something, I want to make notes and prepare sermon material, class material, and because if I don't write something out, I don't remember it anyways. And needless to say, it was very challenging for me, even as a preacher, to sit down and read and follow the daily schedule. The reason I'm saying it this way is use those to how you want to. Don't get caught up with the day that it's on if you just read through it. And if you would like to take those, you're welcome to. It's something I got from, there's an electronic program online called Blue Letter Bible. It's a reference, it's easy reference online. They have some good reference material of that. They have several reading programs. I copied two at least that I thought were intriguing. One of them was chronological. So as you read, it keeps passages together, like especially when you're getting the Kings and Chronicles books. There's some overlapping material. Psalms and the whole Old Testament. Their psalms are not just David's psalms, and so there's some psalms that go back even at least to Moses. I think that's far, but regardless, it helps keep those kind of in sequence, as it were. I personally haven't read the Bible much in sequence like that, so that's a great program. And it says in the top of it, where the little computer screen, it says chronological plan, and there's another one that I think the other one printed out mixes the Old Testament, New Testament together. But again, I encourage you, if you like to make use of this, just to print out, use it to your own, make it to your own use, adapt it to your own use. That's what I say there too. There's times where you get into a reading and it's like, I don't want to put it down because it's in the middle of some part of history. And other times, like you get into Leviticus and you're like, will this ever end? Because some of it's just monotonous, right? It's just, So make use of that if you'd like. Feel free to. This morning, I'm going to use the word month here, but month may not be January. It may be five Sundays, but I haven't seen this to an end yet. But I'm thinking of foundational stuff. Okay, just what is our faith founded on? What is our religion standing on? What is our life founded on? And today, I want to take a moment to look at the Word of God and its source. And this is a foundational type issue. It's something that if we don't fully understand this and understand the implications of it, there are things fall apart, I guess. Things don't fit as well if we don't recognize the source of God's Word. And the idea is this lesson is about inspiration. Probably next week, unless I change my mind, it'll be about confirmation. In other words, the Bible was inspired. Men said, I'm speaking for God. But it wasn't just left at that. In other words, there was a confirmation that said, this, I am speaking for God. And most likely that's going to be next Sunday's lesson, unless I change my mind. But I want to talk today about that. And our reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 2. As Paul talked to the Corinthians, and they were boasting over who they were baptized by. And Paul, in some ways, is making an analogy here to them and said, listen, what we preach, what we know, is not our own knowledge. Paul is saying, what I, Paul the Apostle, preach is not from me. It's not Paul that's speaking to you. It's God that's speaking to you. And his argumentation is what takes place here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting at verse 7. That is a longer reading, but with this in mind, let's take another look at it. I know we've already read it, but let's take a quick look at it here. I'll highlight a few things that we're going to talk about in our lesson. So, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered the heart of man the thing which God has prepared for them that love him. But how do we know things about God? How do we know what God has prepared? Verse 10. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. There is the inspiration of Scripture right there. Paul is explaining to them, I know this because God told me. Nobody else knows these things. Only God knows these things. God revealed them to us, the apostles, by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things. And he continues the argumentation here, or reasoning with them. For what man knows the things of a man except the Spirit which is in him? In other words, you don't know what's in my mind unless I reveal what's in my mind. Now, I might reveal it by action, but you can't just look at me and say, our spouses can. They know what you're thinking sometimes, right? But in reality, we don't truly know. And that's what Paul is saying here. We don't know God's mind unless he tells us. And so in verse 11, even so, the things of God does no man know, but the Spirit of God. And so he says, we receive the Spirit. In verse 13, he says, we speak not in words which man wisdom teaches. And so we're in an era where there are wise men, there are people like the Greeks and those in Athens who are of wise people, maybe even teachers, philosophers even. But Paul's saying we don't use man's wisdom to teach, like similar to that, but we use words which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual with spiritual. And so there is the inspiration of Scripture. There is Paul saying that we don't know these things ourselves. The only way we know them is what God has told us, and God's Spirit has told us. And so that's the origin of God's Word. And this is a passage, if you're into marking in your Bible and highlighting certain passages of our study today, this is one of at least two that I would highlight when it comes to inspiration. When it comes to how God's Word is revealed and the process that took place, Paul reveals this here as he talks to the Corinthians and engages them on their desire for superiority. In other words, Paul's saying, this is not my knowledge, guys. I'm teaching and preaching, but it didn't come from me. So why do you boast in me? You should not boast in me, is what he's saying. Boast in God and his Spirit. So this idea of inspiration, it is a word that is used, actually, one time in the Bible, and God breathed, and that's in 1 Timothy chapter 4, or 3, I'm sorry, 1 Timothy chapter 3. Timothy or Paul introduces or uses this word the only time in Scripture, but it's our word. It's the word for our lesson. And that is of inspiration. God breathed. In the actual 1 Timothy chapter 3, or sorry, 2 Timothy chapter 3. I think if I said first, I meant second. 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That inspiration of God, that phrase, is a compound word, which basically just means theos is God, and pneumo, no breath. Pneumonia, you read the word from breath. Pneumonia is a word related to us. Pneumatics, of air and breath. And so that's a compound word from the Greek. And God says Scripture is from God. Here he says all Scripture, which to Timothy would have meant some of the New Testament already, but certainly would have represented the Old Testament for certain, but whatever New Testament may have been written. Well, what do we learn from this? Well, right out of the gate, the first thing that comes to my mind is revelation by God is required. In other words, we don't just know these things. I can't look out and look at the trees and look at the water and the oceans and say, God said this. Because God does not speak that way through our creation. He speaks of his wisdom, of his power, his omniscience, omnipotence is seen in that, but he does not. His revelation is not seen in that. So man cannot know, as Paul brought out here. I love the Old Testament prophet Jeremiah. He makes this very astute observation. It is not within man that walketh to direct his own footsteps. Jeremiah even recognized this, and this is a principle that is seen throughout all of the Old Testament. All the Old Testament that is seen. And again, even more specifically, Peter says the angels didn't even know. You know, sometimes we wonder where angels fit in the picture of the world. Even the angels did not know the mind of God, and the angels do not know the mind of God. That is not within their ability or their realm. Eternal creatures, I believe, or maybe they weren't, they're not eternal, maybe they were created, whatever the case may be. They're spiritual beings, but that don't make them omniscient. That just makes them spiritual beings, which is interesting in and of itself. So maybe don't know a lot about them, but the angels didn't know. And that's a passage in 1 Peter. We will not necessarily turn to that. But revelation is of God required. So an angel's not going to speak to me and tell me the mind of God. It's the Spirit that spoke the mind of God. Only the Spirit knows those things. Only the Spirit revealed those things. Here comes the other passage to me that's key, the cornerstone of the doctrine and the study of Scripture and how it came about. And that is that it was promised to the apostles. This is over in John chapter 14 through 16. As Jesus teaches them or interacts with his disciples, as he knows his time is near and he is about to leave the world and be crucified, he speaks to them and encourages them and says, look, the Comforter is coming. In John 14, 26, I read the wrong verse. But on John 14, 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I've said unto you. That is the theme of this passage here. Jesus is telling them, look, I'm not leaving you alone. You're not going to have to worry. You're not going to have to reason for yourself. I'm sending the Comforter, and which is the Holy Ghost. And he did that. So he promised this to the apostles. In John 14, 15, and 16, as he talks to his closest disciples there, and we see the fulfillment of that. Hang on a second. I think we'll go to Acts 2 here in a second. I'm wanting to get ahead of myself, I think. Let me see that. No. So let's go back. This Comforter, I didn't put that on my slide. Not only was this Comforter promised, it happened. And that's what happens in Acts chapter 2. If you'll take note, in Acts chapter 2, in verse 16, chapter 2, verse 2, there come a sound of a heaven of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were, and it appeared on them as cloven tongues like as fire, and set on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, in Acts 2, verse 4. And they began to speak with other languages, and the Spirit gave them utterance. And then Peter goes on as he speaks, and he says, verse 16, this is what was spoken or prophesied by the prophet Joel. Acts chapter 2 is the fulfillment of what Jesus promised here in John chapter 14, 15, and 16. So if you want to mark that as well and cross-reference that, those are the cross-reference. That's the piecing together of the timeline of how the Holy Spirit revealed a revelation come about through the apostles. It was promised in John chapter 14, 15, and 16. Jesus had, and I've skipped over this, but he had told his disciples to wait in Jerusalem, and these things were going to happen, and then in Acts chapter 2, it actually happens. They receive the Holy Spirit guidance, and they begin prophesying, and they can fulfill the prophecy of Joel chapter 2 there. And so we see the revelation of God was delivered by the Holy Spirit. It was promised and actually happened. And that happened in Acts chapter 2. But it also is what in 1 Corinthians was talked about Paul there. Paul confirms that this Holy Spirit that they were promised is what guided him. It was not his own wisdom. It was not his teaching as Saul of Tarsus. This was something from God. It was not of his own accord. It was not from Moses. Every Jew would have said, well, I'm Moses' disciple. I want to follow Moses. No, this was the change of the covenant. This is one of the hard pills, the stone of stumbling that the Jews had to deal with. They were no longer following Moses' law. I won't go there. Moses prophesied to this day, though, so they should have. If they had followed Moses, they would have followed Jesus, but it was a stone of stumbling nonetheless. But Paul delivered his message by the power of the Holy Spirit. Spirit gave him utterance. In verse 13 of 1 Corinthians 2, the things which we speak are not words of man's wisdom, are not from man, but they are from the Holy Ghost. So Paul confirms that this happened. It's happened to him, and it also happened to the other apostles. Paul confirms this happened. Oh, watch, the Spirit in action. The reality is the Holy Spirit in Revelation has been active for all time. I'm gonna use that word. I maybe need to qualify that just a tad bit. But in the Old Testament, we learn from Peter that even the Old Testament prophets were guided by this same Spirit. Now, I never thought that it was that much of a doctrinal thing in the Old Testament. I don't know if it was as obvious to them as it is to us today. But we certainly see today and can look back and know the Spirit guided the prophets in their speech and in their teaching. So 1 Peter 1, 21. I'll start at verse 20. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not by the will of man in old time, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And so we see there that even the Old Testament prophets were guided by this Holy Spirit. Even the Old Testament. So this, although it was probably more, we as Christians are more informed today of how it happened, I don't know the Jews' understanding of that at that day, but they were guided. And even the prophet David, Samuel, the end of the book of Samuel, and I want to read that one, 2 Samuel 23, because again, maybe I don't always and haven't always recognized how much what the Jew perception was. But the prophet David, David was king, but David was also a prophet. So in 2 Samuel 23, verse 1 through 3, Samuel wrote, or the writer here, I don't know that actually it was still Samuel at this point, but now these be the last words of David. David, the son of Jesse, the man who was raised on high, the anointed of God, of Jacob, the sweet psalmist of Israel, said, the Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue. The God of Israel said, the rock of Israel spoke to me. He that rule over me must be just, ruling in the fear of God. The Spirit spoke to David. The Spirit told David these things. In verse 2, the Lord of the Spirit spoke by me. This is the God's Spirit in action, the Holy Spirit in action in the Old Testament. I don't know if I always recognize that, but we see some glimpses of it at any rate. And knowing then that Moses, as he spoke, would have spoke by the Holy Spirit speaking through him. That's how it would have worked. Samuel as well, as a priest, and others throughout the Old Testament, including the prophets. And then in the New Testament, the Spirit in action was spoken and written word. Now, certainly for us today, we don't know the spoken word. That's not recorded for us. Paul spoke, and Peter and all the apostles preached many lessons. We don't have those recorded for us. But we do have these things recorded in 2 Thessalonians 2:15. Just notice these references, because these are powerful statements about the revelation of God. And it's more than just that they are the mind of God. It's the power in which they were, the fact that they were recorded and spoken are important to us. And so 2 Thessalonians 2:15, therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or by our letter. By our word or by our letter. Both of those are binding. Both of those are binding. In Acts chapter 2, verse 4, the apostles preached that lesson. And Luke recorded, at least parts of it anyways, Luke records the teaching of Peter there. And then the written word. What's so important about this? God revealed his word that we could read it. And by reading, we could learn. And then that's what these things teach us. It's written so that the common man can believe. the common man in a common language. And that's one of the controversies throughout the Dark Ages, maybe. I don't know if that covers the entire period there. But there's been a segment of society and even religion that looks at the written word as being too difficult to understand. Yet, and we can look at these passages and see there is a simplicity to it. I'm not saying there's not complicated parts, because there are. But there are simplistic parts. And there are parts that for us to understand is not difficult. We can. And so there it is for us. It is written. And it's the Spirit in action. It's a Spirit in action. These were not Paul's words. They were not Peter's words, or not their ideology. It was God's. God's mind revealed. So we learn that revelation is required, because we don't just look out and see in the world around us God's revelation. We can't look and tell what is good and what is right. It's just not there. We can see His power. We can know that He exists. But we can't discern revelation. We find that it was delivered by the Holy Spirit, being promised to the apostles, delivered by the Holy Spirit. Oh, let's take note too, right? Because maybe it may or may not be obvious to you. All the New Testament writers were not apostles. Of our New Testament, we have at least Luke and John Mark, who are Mark, the Gospel of Mark, are not apostles. That does not mean they were not prophets. So there is room in the New Testament for prophets of God. And then Jude. And then James probably was not an apostle, or he could have been an apostle at a later date if he was the brother of Jesus, but that gets into a whole other discussion. The reality is, we do have letters that were taken as the Word of God from prophets of the New Testament era that were not apostles. And that's a little unique, maybe, and maybe you hadn't contemplated that aspect. It was not just the apostles only. They had prophets and by gifts of the Spirit, and those were in the church at times. And Luke being one of those. Oh, Luke, the Gospel of Luke, of course, in Acts is written by Luke there. So continuing on, though, it was delivered by the Holy Spirit. We see the Spirit in action in Old Testament prophets and in New Testament prophets as well. And What we do need to know is that this word will judge us. We will be judged in the end by this word of God. The word written in John 12, verse 48, it says, "Your my words," Jesus says, "my words will judge you." And I'm going to read that one to keep from butchering it here. John chapter 12, verse 48. "He that rejects me and receives not my words," in John 12, 48, "he that rejects me and receives not my words has one that will judge him. The word I have spoken, the same shall judge him in that last day." We will be judged by these words. And one might argue, say, well, that's just the words of Jesus. Only the red letters I need to be concerned with. Well, I think we realize from our study today that Jesus selected and authorized his apostles, prophesied his apostles were going to repeat this word or reveal this word. These are Jesus' word, because they are from him through the Holy Spirit from God. And so we have that connection there. Jesus promised that this spirit of revelation was going to come. It came. These words that they spoke are also his words. They are the words by Jesus through a messenger, through an advocate. Actually, through it, ambassador is a word, actually a biblical word, a New Testament word that was used. The apostles were Jesus' ambassadors. They spoke for him and revealed his truth. They're going to judge us. We must follow those. We don't have an option on that. We must follow those, because they will judge us. And in Paul, he adds that in Romans 2:16, they will be judged according to his teachings. Why? Because he was great? No. Because he was a prophet of God, because he's an apostle of Jesus, because he knew the mind of God, he revealed the mind of God. He's saying, look, you're not beholden to me, of the apostle Paul, you're beholden to God. Because as he made the point in the Corinthian letter, I'm not speaking my words. This is not what Paul wants, this is what God wants. And he's making that point to the Romans, and this applies to all of us, that the word of God will judge us. So it's not of our own will and fruition that we have this book. It's not our standards. This is God's standards. And so we see the source of it. It's critical to acknowledge the source were these inspired writers. And next week, if we do that next week, the lesson on confirmation. These are two lessons that kind of go hand in hand. Because so someone says, I speak for God, doesn't mean they do speak for God. And so God had a mechanism that showed that they were truly God's spokesman. And he even warned Moses, and the children of Israel were taught how to know if a prophet was from God or not. So we have these things to look at, and we'll look at them next week as well. And we'll help also cover the idea of continuing revelation. Are there other books that we should be looking at, or other prophets we should be concerned with today? We have the Bible. What about the continuing revelation that we have from some today, that who claim continuing revelation? Are they speaking for God? And that's what next week's lesson is really to address, is how to discern a true spokesman for God. And we're given those things. God did not leave us blind. Do you believe Jesus? Jesus commanded his apostles to go into all the world, preach the gospel, and baptize them. Baptize them. One of the simple aspects of the gospel is that salvation was through, by believing in Jesus, you believe in what he says, you believe in what he teaches, and you believe it enough that you obey what he teaches. And a very simple act of baptism is required by Jesus, and when you submit to his request of that, his instructions of that, he promises to forgive your sins. They will not be beholden to anymore. He also, as we learn from Scripture, especially from the apostles, we find that we've become a part of the church. We've become a part of that great family, at least on the universal level, the family of God. And so we have that blessing waiting on us. If you've not been baptized for remission of sins, that's what Jesus instructed. And if you have and you stumbled along the way, we realize too that we make mistakes. And if it's of a public nature, we encourage you to come to the congregation, and we'll be glad to pray with you and pray for you. Or if you have other needs, we encourage you to make that known at this time as well. So won't you come as we sing our song of encouragement.